And we're back just like that, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of This Is Africa. My name is Adama.
Hi, guys. I'm Tamba.
Hi, everyone. It's Lloyd.
Welcome back, guys. My name is Amiri.
And today we'll be talking about the social dilemma that is code switching, guys. Through the course of this episode, though, we'll be having the help of Joe Brewster and Michelle Stevenson, who produced a lesson plan on code switching. You guys can find the article on PBS Archive website. We'll be taking from that and like applying it to this episode and seeing where that takes us in this conversation. We do understand, though, that code switching affects tons of people. But for the sake of this conversation and who we are, it does impact Africans living in the diaspora differently. And so I guess starting on reflecting on our lives first, how do you guys feel about code switching, whether or not it's a tool, a forced practice, or maybe a learned and honed skill? I guess to start us off, though, just to break us in a little bit, there's a scenario taken from that same archive article that starts by saying, so you're at work at one day and you're talking to your colleagues in that professional, polite, kind of buttoned up voice that people use when they're doing professional work stuff. Your mom or your friend or your partner calls on the phone and you answer. And without thinking, you start talking to them in an entirely different voice. Still distinctly your voice, but a certain kind of your voice less suited for the office. You drop the G's at the end of your verbs, your previously undetectable accent, your easy southern drawl or your sing-songy Caribbean lilt or your Spanish inflected vowels or your New Yorker is suddenly turned away way up. You rush your mom or whomever off the phone in some less formal syntax, like, yo, I'ma holla at you later, and hang up and get back to work. Then you look up and see your coworkers looking at you and wondering who the hell you'd morphed into for the last few minutes. That right there, that's what it means to code switch. How do you guys feel about the scenario for one? And if you can relate to it or not? And again, is code switching, you, after that, do you feel like code switching is a tool, a forced practice, or something you learn and figure out to use effectively throughout life?
I mean, so what's the problem? Like, code switching is bad or good?
Whether or not it's good or bad, I'm saying, how is code switching, how do you view code switching? Do you use it? Is it something that you feel like it's forced upon you? Do you not like when you have the code switch? Or is code switching something that you use intentionally? You know when you're doing it, you know when to apply it, and you try really hard to, you know.
I mean, with code switching, for me, it was never forced upon me. For me, I just felt like code switching was just an everyday part of my routine. And I didn't even think about it as code switching. I just thinking about it as being able to talk in somebody's language for them to understand where I'm coming from. So that there's no form of miscommunication.
And just for the listeners, what do you mean by their language? Because I know you mean...
It depends on what certain environment that I'm in. You know, when I'm with my, let's say, when I'm with my Ghanaian people, there's a certain way that I speak to them for them to get where I'm coming from and for, you know, for there not to be miscommunication. And that's just the way we speak. So, for instance, you know, when I'm with my Ghanaian people and I start speaking Pidgin, you know, people from the outside who are not in that community will look at me like, what is Lord talking about? But speaking Pidgin is the way, it's our connection, you know, that's our type of communication. You know, nobody could get the jokes or the mannerism or the way we speak, how that's just culture-wise part of my Ghanaian people, you know. Or when I'm in a professional setting, speaking in a certain way because this is how they speak or process information. If I say, you know, X, Y, and Z in a lingo that other people may not know, it's just the way we talk in this environment. Now, when I'm, you know, out on the block or something like that, that's a whole different, you know, type of talk right there. I'm still Lord, still me, but it's just being able to speak in different languages for other people to understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It definitely sounds like it's something that you learned and you use it very usefully. Yeah, I think you enjoy the ability to be able to do that and hop from environment to environment effectively to make other people feel good and you know, inclusive in whatever you're doing. I feel like for me, I guess, like, in the beginning, it definitely felt very forced in my life. for the first several years, I felt like I had to, I guess, assimilate to like other people's environments, as you put out, as you stated it or whatever it was. And it wasn't anything that I wanted to do per se. It's more so really just like, you have to try to fit in to make other people not think you're weird or something. And for a lot of my life, I wouldn't say I enjoyed it. It definitely felt like something that was forced upon me because of the color of my skin, because of the culture that I came from and the world that I was put into. But I feel like over time, like I guess when I kind of got to middle school, high school, it kind of turned into a skill, I guess. Like, I guess by default, after having to do it for so long, it turned into a skill. But also, it's a skill that I acknowledge that I want to continue to learn. And it's very useful because I think one thing that we deal with in the world today is this lack of understanding between cultures and people in different settings. And part of the way, sadly, to move forward is to kind of be able to code switch and make people feel comfortable, because not a lot of people are afraid of change and they're afraid of difference. And I guess if you can be the bigger man in the situation, that entails you code switching.
For starters, right? I just want to, just so our audience, you know, can get a clear definition of code switching. You both talked about your experiences. I want to know personally, right? Because I struggle with this. Is code switching only when you switch your speech, or is it also your mannerism? Just, can anybody just tell me what that is?
I would say it's more speech-wise, because say if I'm chilling with my friends, like, or even like say in my household, I more have an accent in my household compared to when I'm chilling with my friends. I'm more talking like a slang-based speech, you know? Whereas if I'm in a professional world, I would have to articulate my words a little bit more, you know? So I feel like it's more pertaining to like your speech rather than mannerisms. Because you're still being yourself, but you just have this, how you articulate yourself and like how you communicate with the people that's around you, you know?
Yeah, but before you get hand the mic, so what mode are you in right now? Are you in professional mode right now, chilling mode, or are you on a black mode? Which one? So the audience knows which mirror you have today.
I think it's a mixture of everything, you know? I mean, I could give you a little bit of my accent, I could give you a little bit of professionalism, and I could have a little bit of slang with it, you know? So it's all about what type of mode you in, type of mood I'm in, you know?
So do you guys agree with Amiri? So it's just speech. Before I can make my argument, is it just speech? Would somebody else like to? All right, go ahead, Lloyd.
I feel like it's both. It's not one or the other. Like, both of them are not mutually exclusive. Because when I'm with my Ghanaian people, I am more Ghanaian than when I'm hanging out with different types of people. Like,
all right, so hold on. My fault to cut you off. But we have to explain what type of mannerisms you mean. Like, how do you categorize mannerisms?
Mannerism, like the way you behave, the way you talk, the way you move, the type of jokes that you crack. Like, Amir, when you're with around your Trinidadian people, right? Just the way you... Do you understand what I'm saying? Just your body behavior, your mood.
I mean, y'all not... The thing is that y'all not going to catch the jokes, though. That's part of the
code switching. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes they say certain things or certain jokes where it's just, if you know, you know. If you don't, you just don't. Because that's the type of environment that you're in. You know, because the way the joke is communicated, it's only funny if it's done in that type of lingo, behavior, and mannerism for the people in your clique or in your culture to understand. But people outside of that will not get it.
So if I understand correctly, is speech and mannerism. So what you're saying that if you are in a professional setting, you know, you wouldn't like dap your boss up, for example, you shake his hand. So like that's code switching as well. The fact that when you're in front of your parents, how you hold yourself together, when you're at school, how you hold yourself. So code switching, basically what you guys are saying, happens in different things we do in our lives. It's not just speech, it's also how you carry yourself. Okay.
Just to like even just to add, I guess, a little bit more to that. Because for me, I think code switching is the entire shift from head to toe. Like the way your brain is like processing the information around you, the things that are going on around you, the people, the environment, everything determines like how exactly you are changing your brain. Because some situations can be more aggressive than others. depending on where you're at or the type of environment or the different cultures you're exposed to or the people that you're in front of. So it's very micro level things that are like being adjusted to the way that you're speaking. Because I know for one, like, I'm me in all the sense of it whenever I am code switching, because it's me that's able to be this person, be that person, quote unquote. But I have to make sure that, like, my brain is slightly rewired when I'm entering this different environment, so that from every word, from the details, from where my hands are and everything like that, works in an effective way that assimilates to the environment that I'm looking into.
I have a perfect example. When you're at an African wedding compared to if you're in a wedding outside your culture, you just see the way you behave and move and you speak. Because the way I am in let's say, another culture's wedding is totally different from when I'm in a wedding with my Ghanaian people. Because the way we get lit is different. The way we move is different. The way we talk.
How do you get different. Lit?
Stop dry snitching, all right? Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, he wants me to dry snitch on myself, like, nah. But it's just how you speak. Even, for example, one of our professors, right? Whenever she sees me, she always goes, whatever you're talking to your peoples, you become the super foreigner. I'm like, yeah, because I'm talking to my peoples.
And I guess, like, kind of to, you know, I guess to TK's point, I guess we've been talking about how we define it. When TK was asking, like, is it language? And then it's like, is it language or is it body? Is it both or not? Whatever it is. And I think for some people looking from the outside in, it's like, is it simply just talking white or talking black or talking Asian or talking this or talking Arab or talking whatever culture you want to put to it? And, like, I guess at that point, it's like kind of, we have to ask our questions, why is that the case anyway? Why do people have to talk in a different them to fit into a certain environment?
Because you have to adapt to your environment. You see that some people actually change their personalities.
Yeah, when I see that, I'm like saying, like, what is the cause of that?
I mean, not. I wouldn't even say so. Because say if you have an end goal with certain things and you want to accomplish something, you have to adapt to that environment. You feel me? How you act in, like, your self world and how you act in a professional world is two different worlds, you know? So you have to adapt to that environment so that you can not be accepted, but you know how to maneuver in that environment, you know?
Okay, but I guess getting a little more radical about the situation, like, even the definitions of what is supposedly professional, who defines that? Like, well, what is professionalism in and of itself? Like, why do I have to switch to that? Like, am I not, like, trying to get to a position because of who I am? Should it not be because of my uniqueness, because of my character, because of the things that I do? I should be able to qualify for whatever it is that I'm trying to do or fit into any type of situation. Like, I feel like it should be more so people understanding rather than us having to code switch.
So basically what you're saying is that code switching is not necessary.
No.
It shouldn't be necessary.
Yes.
Based on certain principles. All right, so to my answer to that, I think once you come into an environment, let's just say in a professional setting, you just want people to see the best version of you.
Yeah, but there's a rubric on what the best version of someone should look like already. It's not the best version of you. Like, to your point, you're saying you want them to see the best version of you, but no, that's not the case. You have to come in and show that you fit the best version of what the criteria is,
yeah, but
to be in this area.
Well, that's just the social construct. Everybody knows what being professional is. There's no two ways of being professional.
In a way that has created this gap between cultures, ethnicities, and groups of people that not everybody can fit that level of a professional.
Okay, I see what you're saying, but there's gonna be divergent views in terms of each and every one of us's culture already. Like Lord said, even within the African continent, how Ghanaian's party may not be how Malian's party may not be how Senegalese people party. How some of the things we do traditionally are gonna differ regardless. So I guess the reason the reason we code switch is when we come together. Is so that we can all be on the same level and understand each other. So that's like, I guess that's a rubric you're talking about. That's the baseline.
Yeah, but by definition, somebody's not code switching. only one person can code switch at a time. If we're in a room of two people, if it's just me and you, only one of us is code switching to fit in.
Not necessarily. We could both code switch.
To fit what environment at that point then?
To be like neutral, if that makes sense. Like professional, quote unquote, professional way. Like if you walk into a job interview, you know, and there's multiple participants, you both walk in with your suit and tie, you're both code switching at that point. So let's say somebody's Indian and you're Senegalese, you're both switching right there. You're both becoming this ideal professional, you know? You're both code switching. You're not...
assimilating into the environment that you want to achieve to go into, you know?
Okay.
So it's just of like just playing the right cards, you know, like not say like you like to the example of a job interview, how it's in the more Western world, it'd be more professional to wear a suit and tie, you know. So like whereas you wouldn't wear like your cultural gowns to go into a job interview because they wouldn't be able to relate to that, you know. They look at it as like so what are you coming here for, you know. At the end of the day, you have to have a specific angle in terms of how you're code switching too. Well, not necessarily, but sometimes, you know?
Okay, so I guess I bring up my points because like, I feel like we live more and more in a society where the generation that I guess people would consider me part of this generation, but the generation that's like a little bit, I guess, in front of me or whatever. How exactly, because I feel like they're a group of people that are opposed to having to code switch, to having to conform. We live in a world now where people are kind of trying to make sure that you can be yourself at all times. You know what I mean? People are opposed to like having to focus on rules and guidelines and rubrics or this notion that there is a way to fit in, that there is a way to act in certain places. You should be able to walk in, and if you are from this other culture, I should be able to just walk into somebody else's culture and be able to still be myself, and we can share the room with obviously different mindsets and different ways of looking at life, but in a way to ultimately understand each other. By someone having a code switch, you limit who you are. You hold back who you are, how much ability you have, a room you have to show off your culture or give somebody else more room to think about the world in different ways and stuff like that. So for me, I guess the problem is like code switching feels like a forced practice, like systemically. It's engraved in the system and I think it's inherently wrong.
I don't really agree with that, but go ahead.
Me too, because I feel like there, in anything, there is a tipping point. And once it passes a tipping point, it can either become detrimental, or if it doesn't pass a tipping point, it can become useful. Especially it's detrimental. It all depends on the environment that you're really in. Because going to professionalism, like everybody is coming from a different culture, different background, different way of communication, and different way of speaking. Now, if it's brought into a professional setting, that could bring a lot of miscommunication and clashes. Where if there's an established norm, and again, the norm can either be detrimental or useful, depending on who it's marginalizing or who it's enhancing. But at least if there's something where it governs communication or governs the way we interact with each other in a way that is not infringes on somebody else's way of communication, or doesn't infringe on another person's way of communication, that at least they could come to a consensus of how we decide to interact with each other, then that's where, in my opinion, I believe that code switching is actually can be useful. Because not everybody can come in like, I can totally, because again, people, if you come in totally, and I say don't not being yourself, because you can code switch and still be yourself. However, it's not more so of coming in terms of you just feeling like you're changing all of who you are. You can come in terms of we can speak cordially, we can speak in a way that is pertaining to our field or pertaining to our professional setting, but we cannot bring Lord from outside into Lord in the office, because that will rub people off the wrong way. You know what I'm saying? And especially if you want to get what you want, Lord from outside cannot come into Lord in the classroom or Lord in the professional setting.
It's because not that dramatic of a shift. This is Lord on the outside right here. I think this Lord right here can be in a professional setting.
Yeah, but you don't want Lord when he's in a party.
Yeah, but of course. But
that's the thing. Yeah, no, but that's different. When I'm at a party, I'm code switching.
That's nah. When I'm at a party, that doesn't count as code switching.
I'm changing my mannerism, my talk, my lingo, even my clothes.
Okay, yeah, but that's a way more technical way of looking at it because you're in a party. Like, there's nothing professional to talk about in the first place. You're literally here
because
to,
it's so a different environment.
Cool, I understand. It may count as code switching. Yes, but that's too technical. That's you literally by default. You are going to party, bro. That's not the same thing as I'm talking about. Just you right here. Would you not? Or would you code switch anymore if you from this version of yourself right now to an office position?
Depending on what environment that I'm in. Yeah.
Okay, so my whole thing is
I'm still like Lord is still Lord.
Okay, so my question is code switching really just not? It's only useful in the society that we live in.
No, it's not only useful in the society that we live in. The point that I
the
was
the system demands you code switch.
The point that I was trying to make is that there's a tipping point to code switching where code switching can be useful for you,
but
in terms of communication, but in or code switching could be detrimental to you in terms of changing who you are as a human being.
I understand that, but I'm saying
a certain subpoena of the environment that you're in.
I understand, bro. But everything that you're saying is true within the confines of the system that we live in. If there was a system that didn't require you to code switch, you wouldn't have to code switch. You could just walk in and be yourself in every environment.
Yeah, but why?
I get hired. Code switch, I can
still be myself. But why are we shouldn't even be having that conversation because this, like you said, it already requires us to do it, so we have to do it. So my example to you now would be, so do you code switch when you're with your parents? Because the system doesn't require you to do that.
I know all of y'all be code switching when y'all with your parents because there's certain things that you really cannot say around your parents or when you talking to your parents. Like when you talking with your boys, are you talking your boys talk? You cannot come in with that same type of mentality or that same type of time and mannerism. Well, for me, not in front of my mom or my dad. Like that's not gonna fly with them.
Some people don't have to change their mannerisms at all. There are some people who don't code switch.
And that's cool for them.
Which is why I'm saying it's inherently
but
wrong.
But for me, I'll just feel awkward doing that.
Yeah, but you're okay with doing it. But you're forced to do it too, though. Can you acknowledge that?
Like, no, because
you don't think you're forced to do it as a black man? As a black man, you are forced to code switch.
No, all right. Going to as a black man and with my parents is two different things. It's two different things because now we're looking at racial style. I'm looking at
even culturally as a black man. When you're with your parents look at you and they say, "Yo, you are a black man." They taught you how to act in certain scenarios and not to act with the same kid that you're running around in the house with. Like, you have to act different because you're black. Like, the parenting doesn't make it any different.
Yeah, even outside, being I'm black, even me being as African American or in the African diaspora, when I'm at home, I'm in Ghana. When I'm outside, I'm in America. So I move differently. You know what I'm saying? I cannot come in. With certain things, my parents would shut down because they said they're like, look, that's an American stuff that we don't even do in this house, period. You know, so I have to play ball. Now, there are some things where I understand and I get it because of the culture that I'm in and the culture that I'm part of. But in certain aspects, to this day, I'm still trying to understand, but it's a give and take scenario, situation, environment.
Whole bunch of stuff. Wait, so I actually have a question just to give us a little break. So would you guys say, Lord and Adama, and Amiri too, you can answer this one if you want to get into it. So white people can't code switch? People from different cultures can't code switch all of a sudden? If it's the way you act, your mannerism and your speech, just being black doesn't mean that you automatically have to code switch because the same thing you said that if you're at home, and outside, it's the same thing with a white family. When they're at home, you know, the white kid may act a certain way, or the Indian kid or the Asian kid may act a certain way. And when they're outside, their families or their culture may ask of them to act another way. So that's the question. Can they code switch as well? Yes, no?
Yeah, I think white people can code switch.
Or other cultures.
Yeah, all the cultures can code switch. And I've seen it happen before, all the time.
I say everybody code switches. It, like at the end of the day, of course you're gonna be more comfortable when you're at home, with your immediate family or your friends and stuff compared to when you were in an outside setting, because at the end of the day, you have to adapt to that environment. Like, more than like, especially a professional setting, it's like you have an angle. You want to get that job. You want to get this position. You want to get this. You want to get that. So, of course, you're going to have to speak the language of your employers, you know? So,
as a black man, to finish off what you just said, and to like really just get into that, to that question, like, yeah, everyone does code switch. But for groups of people, it's very different. It's not the same for everybody. And I guess to like, I'm no scientist, I'm no doctor, I'm not a teacher or anything like that. But from what I've seen, what I've experienced, stuff like that, I guess white people have to code switch less. The environment that they're raised in, or people who have been raised in more fortunate environments, because not all white people are raised in the same environments, but people who are raised in more fortunate environments, that personality that they gain from that environment is that personality that they can rock in a professional setting and still get the job. We've seen positions of, like, we look at, for example, Trump. What is one of our biggest things? Trump has never code switched in his life. Like, he has never code switched in his life. Everywhere he goes, that is his demeanor. That is the way Trump is. That's him through and through. He has never changed it for anybody. He has never sat down and said, that's not me. This is who I am. Even when they force him to apologize, he comes out right on Twitter and says, hey, yeah, they made me do that. And that's not code switching. And he's earned everything. Imagine if Barack Obama had acted like Trump. Literally, Barack Obama just released a book called The Promised Land. And in the beginning of the book, he talks about Trump kind of being his successor and stuff like that. And he asks himself, was I wrong in my approach? Was I wrong in adjusting my demeanor, my temper, and all these different things? If I had been as aggressive, or if I had been maybe just a little bit more aggressive, would things have been different for my people or the things that I had planned to do in office? He code switched, and look what happened.
But I have a
he was
question.
Forced to code switch, because if he had done the things that Trump had done, none of it would be condoned.
But do we know how Trump acts behind the
yes,
scenes?
Yes, we do. Should I read some of the back? I don't want to read vulgar comments that we know Trump has said about women, that he has said about people of Africa in public and behind closed door. AIDS, huts in Nigeria.
Hold on. What's the big difference between a person like Trump and a white guy working 9 to 5? Trump has money. Money speaks.
The white guy working 9 to 5 didn't have to code switch to get his
job.
Yes,
they do.
No, he didn't.
They do.
Code switch to get his job,
the reason why Trump can be Trump, because he got the money to back it.
So you're telling me a white guy and a black guy walking into whatever, a McDonald's, we'd like to talk about it. You're telling me that the black guy does not have to code switch way more aggressively than the white kid can come in with his skin and have a better chance of that job?
That's when you're talking about in a professional setting. I'm talking about
you said 9 to 5.
Even with the 9 to 5 job, like, white people also code switch with other white people depending on what type of environment, what type of space they have to go into. Trump doesn't have to do that because lives an affluent life. Like,
the levels are completely different, Lord.
Bro,
they're not on the same level. Yes, do not compare me to the white person's ability to code switch. They were not on the same level.
I'm not talking about ability to code switch. I'm talking about them having to code switch.
The necessity too. You think they have to necessity? They have to code switch more than we do?
Yes. If I have to get into a certain world, I will talk a little differently to get into that world. Some white people have done
Mitch
that.
Mitch McConnell would disagree.
That's going into politics.
Donald Trump would disagree. Rogan would disagree. And like Dana White would disagree.
So wait, you talking about...
I don't
about,
know. You can pick whatever about, field you want.
You're talking about like public figures that have money. Like, to Laura's point, they have money. So they can act... Hold on. Let me get my point across. They can talk the way they want. I've lived in different parts of the world, and I've had friends, right, that are all different races, right? And I'll tell you, when they are with me, the person, the persona they have, or the speech they use is different than when they have a job interview. Like, they're two completely different people. Like, we were talking our slang and stuff like that when it's just us. We say the New York lingo or whatever. And even in France, we said our French lingo or whatever it is. But when it was time for us to go get a job or a job interview, my level of professionalism and their level of professionalism was the same. Now, you can make an argument that I was, you know, raised in a family where
your environment's not
the same. Yeah, I was raised in a family where, like, my parents held me to that standard, and that's why I didn't have to code switch as much, or our levels are the same. But if people that live in the same environment, so now it's not a question of race.
It's different.
No, but now it's not a question of race. It's a question of social class.
Thank you. Social class is race is not intertwined with social class.
I'm not saying race
for you guys to sit down.
No, we're not saying that race is not intertwined with racial class. We're talking about Trump does not have to talk the way like somebody who needs a job in a certain specific world,
bro,
because he has the money to do whatever he wants. If some other guy named Tom needs this job, he gonna talk the lingo to get job.
I am telling you, hold on, bro. I'm not denying that though. I feel like you're not hearing me. I'm telling you the gap that he has to climb, the switch gap. Like if you're switching like from left to right, the person you are becoming. That white boy is like, unless he's obviously okay, cool. We brought up social class. It's a big thing to bring up. I understand. I put it in there. I still think race is very entwined with that, as we all agree here as well. Fair enough. But I am saying more white people grow up in more obviously opportunistic environments than people of color, correct or not? So they're kind of already trained, and the gap like in which they're like switching, like jumping from the white boy in the neighborhood to the white boy in the professional office is not as big of a jump as the black boy in the neighborhood to the black boy in the professional setting. There is a major... I understand that in our environments, the lives we grew up... I know I have white friends that grew up in the same environment as me. So technically, yeah, they had to make the same code switch. I'm talking about as a whole. Way more black people and people of color in general have to make a much bigger jump and a much more forced code switching adjustment or whatever we'd like to call it than people of Caucasian color.
So
that's my thing. Like, so, I don't understand how's that being disputed right now?
That's consistent with America. So now let me give you an example where in Africa, when I was living in Mali, my social class in Mali, you can consider me as upper middle class, the elites. Now, somebody who's my skin color, who's black, Malian as well, who lives in a lower class, right? From your argument just now, I become the white person, quote unquote. I'm the guy in a higher social class, and that person is the one in the lower social class. Mm-hmm. So for them to code switch to get to my level, right? Maybe to get a job, it'll be different. But it wasn't because of our skin color. It's just because our social class in Africa. So now in America, what Adama is saying, the way the social classes are broken up, that he's right. It's consistent with the way America is. But I argue about
social and racial inequity in the job force.
Yeah, but that's in America. But I'm saying that's not consistent. That's not consistent with code switching worldwide. You get what I'm saying? You were talking about in America, and to our audience that's listening, with America, it's very consistent.
But for example, the rubric has been defined by Western culture. So yes, black people may not deal with like as much white competition in other parts of the world, or people kind of have to deal with it like in their actual place. But the guideline and everything has been set up by Western culture, by white culture. And by that definition, even though you're not dealing with the white person face to face in that same exact building, you are affected by that standard wherever you are. There's a level of professional that's been set not by you in your country or your place, by people in a whole other part of the world.
Yeah, but then, all right, so...
European culture has set the standard for African youths in all across Africa.
Yeah, but it's not... You make a good point, but...
You can't even speak Wolof in Senegalese classes, bro. You speak French all day, every day. Like,
it's not completely consistent. That's all I'm saying. Because I've been to an African school, and when we're not in class, when we get out, we speak our language. The teachers speak our language. So
no, that's what outside of class, but within the confines of the class or the space that you're in.
Our lessons are taught in that language. Like, it's not... That's.
But why? Set up by who? From what system? Again, no. To my point, Western culture.
No, because not everybody speaks the same language. So there has to be an established mother tongue
that if you don't want to say Western culture, bro, a like, superior we're
not
power.
You, no. We're
a
not
superior power, bro.
We're not telling you to like
India, Britain.
We're not telling you to let go of your language or let go of your culture. Just not everybody speaks the same lingo. So there has to be something established. I get to your point in scenarios, especially happening in America. It's established by white people, and we've definitely seen how it has definitely been detrimental to us. However, in talking about just the technicality of things, of how you talk to people, how you communicate with people, there's certain things that you can't say that will communicate the right way to another person because they would not get it. I cannot go say, excuse my language, dead ass in front of like my parents because they'll look at me crazy because they'll not understand what I'm saying. Now, if I say I'm serious, It registers different.
You're not really saying nothing right now.
I agree with this. Yeah, but
I'm telling you the disparity between how much one race or one culture has to code switch and another one has to. And that problem is a racial problem that's systemically put there by another race.
But even
that's
again,
what I'm telling you. Yeah, all right. We all have to code switch. We agreed on that. Everybody code switches. Everybody and their moms code switches. I understand that. I'm not denying that. What I'm telling you is that there is a major disparity in why people have to code switch, how often you have to code switch, and where you have to code switch.
Even
and it's right. A problem.
Okay.
Like it's a problem.
Hold on right there. Even removing ourselves out from the racial aspect of things.
But it's the problem.
In America, and just even putting it more so to Africans and the African diaspora, we do it. And African diaspora people, especially those who are born here, sometimes they have the feeling of when they're around their people not being, again, this could actually go to Adama's point, or me trying to understand Adama's point. They have to be more African than usual, because those who are, I'll say it to Ghanaian. So like those who were born in Ghana and those who were born in America, the Ghanaians in America have to be more Ghanaian or do things more Ghanaian. Otherwise, it's like your Ghanaian card gets revoked because you don't do certain things or speak a certain way for you to be considered Ghanaian, because, you know, you don't do it in a specific way. Now, since you're also black too as well, when you're with your African-American friends, you're not African-American enough because of your lingo or how you move or your mannerism, all this other stuff. You know what I'm saying? So you find yourself code switching in these places. Now, one have to do more so than other, going to Adama's point. By the end of the day, you still have to do it.
All right, go ahead.
I was going to wrap it up.
Now, I just want to make one final point. I feel like from anywhere around the world, if you're an immigrant coming to the U.S., you are definitely code switching, regardless of the fact, professionally or not professionally. Because it's like, at the end of the day, somebody that's American born will not really understand your culture or language of where you're coming from. Therefore, you will have to assimilate or adapt to that environment to speak the language of the people that you want to help understand you.
Yeah, and you know, I agree with that. Like, and to Adama and Lord, you guys are just going to have to agree to disagree, I guess, on this one. Because what Adama is saying is consistent with America, and what you're saying is just consistent with the rest of the world.
I think Adama is trying to say that white people set the standard of professionalism.
You switch to what that is. Yeah. All right, you have to switch by their terms. We didn't set that terms for ourselves.
That's in the realm, and that's a disparity. Of professionalism, though. What if you go into other realms?
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you go to...
Somebody has to do so more than the other.
That's what I'm saying. We're going to have to agree to disagree. Because if you go into a professional setting in a rural area or in a village, it's not the same. The white people didn't set that standard. You know what I mean? So it's different everywhere. That's what I'm saying. We're going to have to agree to disagree on this topic. And would you like to wrap this up with this one? Actually, we want the people that listen to contribute to this. Please comment on Instagram at TIAPod. On Instagram, on Twitter at TIA_pod. On Instagram, T.I.A_pod, if I'm right. We also have a Facebook page. This is Africa Podcast. Just look it up. Please comment. We want to hear what you guys have to say. Obviously, we couldn't come to an agreement about this topic, but we would love you guys to engage. And team, which side you go with? Team Lord or Team Adama?
We might be
just in the middle. Yeah. I would love to hear this.
Depending on the comment section, we maybe consider part two to this.
Yeah, we may. Might. Yeah, we might have to do a part two after we go and ask more people. And yeah. Pick them one by one. Make me bust my gun. Poison us like a long python. Gunfire in 911.